NBC is citing two unnamed senior intelligence officials who say Russian President Vladimir Putin was directly involved with the hacking of Democratic National Committee emails. NBC also says the hacking campaign started as a vendetta against Hillary Clinton, but evolved into a broader effort to undermine U.S. credibility around the world and expose corruption in the U.S. election process. Now, there's no confirmation of the NBC reporting from any government agency, but we had planned a look at Putin today, so let's do that now with Edward Lucas, senior editor at The Economist. And Ed, others have presumed Putin, the former KGB agent, was involved, but you say you're not surprised. Why?
Because the Kremlin has been doing this in other countries in Europe for years, and they get better and better at it every time. They did it in Georgia and swung the result of an election there. They've done it in Poland. They've also, I would say, been intervening in both the Scottish independence referendum in Britain and in the Brexit referendum. And they've now refined these hacking and leaking tactics to a real fine art. And you in the United States have been the recipients of this. And it's a very major development, I think, in our political history, that you can now affect another country's elections by stealing emails and recording private conversations and then releasing them with a media who unquestioningly accept this as evidence of scandal, and then go off and publish stories which can have an effect on the election result.
Well, this is what the New York Times addressed, the notion that, of course, the U.S. has interfered in other countries' elections in the past as well. But what is different now, particularly with, you know, Donald Trump's seeming support of Vladimir Putin? He's gone against his own party in his praise of Putin. We remember during the convention, his campaign fought to gut the party platform, to take out language about arming Ukraine or calling for reducing sanctions. His first top aide, Paul Manafort, was an advisor to the Putin-backed president of Ukraine. Trump's nominee for Secretary of State has done business with Putin. This, of course, the CEO of ExxonMobil. There are knockoffs of Trump's apprentice show in Russia and Chechnya. What do you make of that, those ties?
There are certainly some very questionable ties on the Trump side with the Kremlin. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Mr. Trump is the Manchurian candidate. I think the big question is, what will Mr. Trump's president, when he is president, Trump's policy towards Russia be? And there I see two dangers. One is that he just mishandles a crisis. The other danger is that he tries to do a grand bargain with Mr. Putin. And I think that's what people are mainly worried about over here.
Well, let's just back up a second. We're in the 25th anniversary of the dissolution of the Soviet Union, President Mikhail Gorbachev resigning on Christmas Day in 1991. Boris Yeltsin takes over. Vladimir Putin, a Yeltsin protege, he rises to power from the KGB, which is where he spent his time. Just who is Vladimir Putin for those just kind of, tuning into this?
He's not a communist. He doesn't really believe in the one-party state. He's got a very different idea, which is that Russia has a geopolitical destiny, which allows it to determine the fortunes of neighboring countries. And also, he believes that Russia is a great power, must be treated as a great power. So I think it's really Putin, the imperialist or the neo-imperialist, which is the most important thing here, with his very strong one could almost say addiction, or certainly penchant, to the methods of the old KGB, doing things in the shadows, behind the scenes, with a mixture of money, blackmail, dirty tricks, propaganda, and all the other things that were such important measures in the KGB armory, and are even more effective now.
Well, in fact, doesn't the Kremlin feel that they are as under attack from the West as, you know, the West might feel right now, that they're under attack by the Kremlin? We're reading in Newsweek, for instance, the Kremlin's new army of spooks is motivated by a single ideology: to fight back against a supposed Western campaign to undermine Russian power, to foment unrest in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Kyrgyzstan.
I can understand why the Kremlin hates it that countries that used to be in their pocket are wriggling out of their pocket and heading towards us. But I don't think that that is a view we accommodate. I think we have to say to the Russians, we'd be delighted if you would also have an open political system and would be friends with us and help make constructive contributions to all the problems the world faces. So long as you don't want to, unfortunately, there's not much business we can do. But we are definitely going to stick up for these countries, of these people who believe the same things that we do.
So Edward Lucas, where do you think this is heading? You have a Putin, a Russia emboldened in Syria, you know, started up airstrikes again there, helping to completely shut down Aleppo for Assad. emboldened, according to reports, meddling in the U.S. election. Where does this go?
We have to accept that Russia is winning. So I think we're going to see the same thing now in Germany and in France, particularly directed at Angela Merkel, the German leader, who is now, in effect, the leader of the free world. She's almost the last man standing, or in her case, last woman standing. And we have to get our act together, because we're losing this because we're weak-willed and badly organised. And until we get our act together, I'm afraid that we're going to continue to allow Russia to make hay, and with potentially terrifying consequences.
That's Edward Lucas, senior editor at The Economist. His book again, Cyberphobia, Identity, Trust, Security, and the Internet. Ed, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.